Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
The reading from Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.' The Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. And of you, I will make a great nation.' But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, 'O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, 'I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people." Word of God, word of life. Let us read the Psalms responsively. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. In your great compassion, blot out my offenses.
Wash me through and through from my wickedness, and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my offenses, and my sin is ever before me.
Against you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight. So you are justified when you speak, and right in your judgment.
Indeed, I was born steeped in wickedness, a sinner from my mother's womb.
Indeed, your body and truth deep within me, and without no hope.
Remove my sins with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be purer than snow.
Let me hear joy and gladness, that the body you have broken may rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all of my wickedness.
Create in me a clean heart, God, and renew a right spirit within me.
A reading from 1 Timothy. I am grateful to Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a man of violence, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for every very reason that I receive mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. to the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light the lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Parables are tough. I mean that in the best possible way. Jesus uses these parables to teach, and they are short stories. And in their simplicity, those who hear them can see what Jesus is saying, what he is talking about. Over the years, the parables become easy. They become a shorthand. They become so familiar that the faithful miss the twist. There's always a twist. It usually comes at the end. It's that challenging word or phrase that can too easily fly right by the listener. Today, the church hears the first two of a trilogy of parables. Some people reference them as the parables of the lost. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. What can make these parables so challenging is that so often people miss the setup. So listen again. All the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around Jesus to listen to him. The Pharisees and legal experts were grumbling, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." First, Jesus gathers with tax collectors and sinners. This is shorthand in the first century. Tax collectors were understood to be corrupt by definition. They paid the Roman Empire the tax, and then they went out and collected those taxes to fulfill what they had paid. Often they extorted just a little bit more, or sometimes a lot more, in order to make it work. They augmented their income in that way. In fact, the whole system kind of depended on this extortion to work. There was no way that good, faithful, religious people in the occupied Jewish territories and communities could see tax collectors as worthy. Tax collectors are beyond redemption, don't you know? And sinners is a good catch-all. It points to everyone the listener understands to be violating God's law. The author of Luke does a masterful job here because, well, everyone who hears this declarative sentence has the opportunity to develop their own list. Perhaps there are lists rambling around among the minds of all gathered here today. Surely these sinners are beyond redemption. But wait. All these people, all these sinners, these ones beyond redemption are gathering around Jesus, and he is letting them. He welcomes them. He shares table fellowship with them. In case we don't get the point, the author tells us that the Pharisees and the legal experts are grumbling. I remember Peter Chesseth talking about the Pharisees. Peter was my first New Testament professor. He talked about how the Pharisees are the kind of people every pastor wants in their congregation, in their church. You see, these are not bad people. These are people who have developed a piety that is grounded in what was expected of the priest. But the Pharisees then generalized those expectations to all the members of the faith community. These are the people who show up. They show up for worship events. They show up for service events. They show up for, well, whatever needs to be done. They contribute their time, their skill, their resources. When people talk about the 20% of the people in an organization doing 80% of the work in the first century, that was the Pharisees. They just know what's right. So too, the scribes, they know the law. They know what is right. They know who belongs. And they know that Jesus is hanging out with the wrong crowd. Jesus, on the other hand, is hanging out. The author doesn't tell us, but I suspect that Jesus trusts that love is enough. Remember that Jesus announced that the reign of God had come near. And in that, he read from Isaiah and declared that it was fulfilled in their hearing. Being in the presence of God changes lives. What the Pharisees and the scribes could not accept was that by gathering and eating and welcoming these people, Jesus was accepting and affirming these people as worthy of relationship. Over the past many years, there is a series of cartoons available that make their way around Facebook groups and the internet. David Hayward describes himself as a former pastor who uses art and cartoons to speak to the moment. His cartoon, now 10 years old, titled Lost or Kicked Out, speaks to this moment among the Pharisees and the scribes. In it, he has a flock of sheep who greet Jesus when he returns with the lost sheep. The spokesperson for the flock says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, hold it right there. He wasn't lost. We kicked him out." Now, for those who are hearing, the sheep that Jesus is carrying is with rainbow fleece as the flock is black and white. Listen again to the setup to this parable. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." The twist comes at the conclusion of each of the parables that Jesus tells. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. It occurs to me that the twist makes it easy for the righteous ones, the faithful ones, the experts in the law, the experts on being true to the faith, that they may in fact be the ones in need of repentance. This is particularly clear in the parable of the lost son. Remember the words of the father to that son who stayed home? You are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we have to celebrate and rejoice because this sibling of yours was dead and has come to life. They were lost and have been found. For the faithful ones who have always been with God, the call to repentance is clear. We have to celebrate and rejoice. We have to welcome and include and affirm. Jesus wants this community to be a place of belonging for all people. The reign of God is enough. God's love is enough. May this congregation be known as a place that welcomes everyone and eats with them, and a congregation that repents of the sin of exclusion. Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.